Several years ago, Kathy and I met a couple that it was just interesting. They were really nice. Nice people, really nice people. And they loved the Lord, committed to God. We enjoyed being with them and still do. And they have been attending our conferences now for a few years, and that is a blessing. They're just a blessing. They're good people to get to know. That's Richard and Natalie Edgar. And he pastors Great Commission Church in, I wrote it down, Marshallton, Iowa. And that's, I don't know, what, 500 miles away or something like that? I don't know. Anyway, they're here this week, and I have asked Pastor Richard to come and exhort us over the offering this morning. So, Pastor Richard, would you please come?
Well, good morning. Good morning. Natalie is back there, and then also my mom is with us. Her and my dad started Great Commission Church when I was 3. So I was raised in that church and didn't expect to pastor it, but, you know, it's God's plans, not mine. Amen. When I first started going to the prayer center, immediately you get the book. And I remember, if you've ever read the book, how many have read the book? Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power. All right. So I don't know why, but one of the first things that stuck out to me in that book was the testimony of Dave Roberson when he was just following God, scraping along. And you remember when he got that van? Somebody gave him that, was it a Volkswagen van? And for whatever reason, I thought, you know what, if God would ever just give me a car as a young man, I've arrived, you know? And so when Natalie and I first started following the Lord, when we had to move back to Iowa for some family reasons, in 2010. And at the time, the church could only afford to pay us, about $250 a week. So it wasn't a whole lot. And, God has a way of putting you out there on a limb and expecting Him to trust you if you follow Him. Amen. And so it came, 4 or 5 years we were there, and the car that we had inherited from our parents started to get a little less illustrious. We had kids, and they drew on the interior, and it broke down here and there. And came to pass probably about 3 years ago. We were at October conference, and we came back, and I started up that old Chrysler Concord. And after we come back from conference, and it just didn't feel like going anymore. So we tried to drive it, and my mom, she was going on a trip, so she let us borrow her minivan for about a week. But we knew we had 2 kids at the time. We had our 3rd on the way, and we knew that we were going to be needing a minivan. And any other dads out there need minivans? Amen. And so a couple of years before this, we'd been praying and kind of seeking the Lord, what do we need? And that's always kind of a tricky question because you think you need things and you don't. But we kind of, shot for the stars and hoped to land on the moon. We picked out a Honda Odyssey, maybe leather seats, maybe not, we'll see. And we wanted a DVD player and things like that. Now, I didn't know if it was legal to ask for those things or not. I just wanted God to provide. But I put this before the Lord, and I says, I'm coming with a pure heart. If this is okay, this is what we'd like. If not, you just give us what you want. And we were still unsure of ourselves. Anybody ever been there where you're still following God and you're like a kid and you're just not sure? And so years passed, and I at times I would find myself looking through Craigslist trying to find a van or looking at the listings. And I had good enough credit. I could have gone out there. I could have gotten a line of credit and made a way and bought a van. And I was in the middle of doing that in my prayer time, which isn't a good idea because the Holy Ghost will talk to you, And he told me, he says, when you need a new car, it'll be there for you. And so I closed up my iPad. I stopped looking for him, and it was probably a year and a half later that car started to die. And we got back from conference, and we had our mom's van driving it around. And I wasn't even really that worried about it. About midway through the week, I told my wife, I says, honey, we're going to have to think about what to do when mom comes back from her trip. We're going to have to give her van back, you know. And it was Thursday evening. We had some friends coming over. And Mom came back Saturday morning. Isn't that right? Saturday morning. Thursday evening. We were still driving my mom's van. Our car wouldn't start. And we had a couple come up. They drove in our driveway. They came in. The first gift they gave us, and we were friends from them, friends with them from college. And the first gift they gave us was coffee mugs. Amen. Some travel coffee mugs. And they says, why we gave you these is because you also have this. And if my wife could, she could show you the key right now. She gave us the key, and I stood there looking at it, just shaking. And I says, what is this key? And they stepped us outside. You can all bear witness with me and look outside if you want later on this afternoon. There is a 2013 Honda Odyssey with leather seats and a DVD player, and my kids are occupied the whole time here. That's a testimony. Amen. Now, on the back side of that, all the way, you know, I drive that Concorde and it shudder, and it's, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it home, and you have an opportunity there. Do you believe what you see, or do you believe what the Lord told you? And I said, I thank you that this car has been a good car for us. Thank you, Father. I thank you that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And in times past, I can tell you I didn't do that. I would say things as they were. But we're God's children. We're called to say things that be not as though they were. Amen. So I'm so grateful for his provision. And I know many of you could give testimony of his provision. But I wanted to address something more specifically. After that happened, you know, we've had that van a couple years now. And when I look back on that time, what really sticks out to me no longer is the thing itself. It's not the van. It is the relationship that I received with my Father when he walked me through that process. When he said, when you have need of a car, it'll be there. And when I had to trust him. And see, more precious to me now is that relationship I have with him. And I still have a ways to go. Anybody else there with me? You can be opening up to Proverbs chapter 8. And lately, this has been one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 8. I would like to read the whole chapter, and I think you should. But I'm just going to touch on the highlights. And this is the personification of the woman wisdom here in chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Now, skip on down to, let's see here, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better. Everybody say better. Better. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, this whole passage, in a way, it deals with provision. It deals with wisdom. It deals with receiving from your Father God. Skip ahead to verse 22. We're going to start in 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. In verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. And he's speaking of wisdom here. and where there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. And I really believe what he's talking about right there is the very elements. Before the very elements were even created, the wisdom was there to bring it all forward. The wisdom of God was there waiting to create everything that is, has been, and ever will be. And he goes through and he talks about all of the things, all of the foundations of the earth and everything that's been set up and everything that science has discovered. And you can look into the stars and we just marvel at it. How they don't see God, I don't know. But I do. Amen. And he builds on all of this. And then in verse 32, it culminates and he says, now, therefore, everybody say, therefore, because of everything that he has said, because of the wisdom that has been found, that founded this very earth, it's resident at your doorstep, ready to be received. It's waiting at the gates. It's calling to you. And now that we have received Jesus, it's on the inside. Everybody say amen. See, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me and watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth light, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. See, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, I believe that the Lord is trying to transition each and every one of us into a childlike spiritual position, into a mature son and daughter position. And we're called to kind of grow up and step up into more of his understanding, more of his wisdom, and receive from him in a more real and personal way. And when my wife and I first started following God, it was almost as if he dealt with us passively. And I believe his leadership is increasingly, and I believe many could testify to this, that over the years he tries to transition you from passive leadership, passive provision, to active provision, active leadership. And when we first started following God, it was almost like he would have things prepared for us because we didn't know how to hear him quite as well as we do now. And so there would be little things like we would hit situations and we would be without money and somebody would, and we'd be believing God. We were in obedience, okay? We were following him as best we knew how, but somebody would send us the money. But now, these last couple years, it's almost like, okay, it's time to start hearing me. It's time to start following me in a new and active way where I can provide for you out of our relationship and not out of just a passive leadership, okay? A good picture of this in the Old Testament is the manna. Everybody remember the manna? And they were following God to a degree, but when they stepped up into following God into a greater degree, they didn't just have God's provision fall on them. They followed God and took the provision in the promised land. Everybody see that picture? And see, what does that look like for us in the New Testament? Go to Matthew. Now, there's a couple examples here. I'll just hit on a couple. Matthew 17. Jesus is our prototype. Amen. And look at how Jesus received from his Father. When there was a need, he instantly turned to the Holy Spirit and listened for instructions on how to meet that need. And the wisdom he received. Now, the things that it's written here is written as an example of what we can have. But I have not heard God to this degree when I have had a need. Now, there have been times where I have heard him. But look at how Jesus meets needs when he turns to the Holy Spirit and he hears this active leadership, this active provision, that it's out of our relationship with him that he wants to provide. Matthew 17, verse 27, when he was faced with a need, he was telling Peter, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money and take and give unto them for me and for thee. Now, have any of you ever heard to pay your taxes that way? I have not. But that is what is possible. See? And there's other examples where we could go to where you know, when he needed the donkey. He told his disciples. And what's really neat is that he didn't go and do that for himself. He let his disciples go follow his words, and they got to see how the Holy Spirit leads. They got to see this is how God is providing for Jesus. This is how God will provide for us. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. And see, they sent him to go get the donkey, and if this gets said to you, you say this. Or the time where they were sent to go prepare the upper room, and he says, when you enter the city, you're going to see somebody with a water pot on their head. And the neat thing is, Jesus didn't even go. He just trusted that what he heard, he told them, and that was what was going to be. That's trust. That's a trust in your Father that exceeds just, oh God, oh God, oh God, help me. You know? And see, this is where we're going, and this is where we're growing to. We're going to be a people that can be actively led by the Spirit, that has complete faith and trust in everything he tells us. And when we go into a foreign place, we're not fearful about our provision. We have our provision on the inside right here. It's on the inside. I want to esteem his wisdom more valuable than anything he can give me. And one of the exercises he's been doing with me, he said, now, if I were to give you wisdom on how to receive, say, $1 million, and you receive that $1 million, what if I gave you wisdom on where to give that whole $1 million? All of it. And I said, all of it? All of it? All of it. And see, that whole $1 million, well, I answered him honestly. I says, well, it would be difficult to let it go. It would be very difficult. He says, that's because you still trust the provision more than the provider. You're still trusting that what I'm bringing you is more valuable than me. And if you would learn to put your dependency on me, you would never be afraid of lack. The world could take everything from you. You're okay. You still have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And that is provision. I remember Gary saying one of my first services at the prayer center, he says, you know what a wealthy man is? It's when you can pray and God answers. That is a wealthy man.